point.
Okay, so I would suggest, if you want to learn about the healing ministry, to underline and highlight every healing passage in the New Testament, whether it's a specific passage or a reference to healing, underline it, highlight it, and then go through it, prayerfully ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation and insight and understanding. And it's an eye-opener, and it's really good. And God will show you some things, and he'll keep continually show you some new things that will help you in the prayer. Healing is a lot of fun. The way you do it can be very creative. I don't have time to tell you. I mean, remember this, that you have been given authority. Jesus has delegated his authority to you, and he says, you heal the sick. Okay, that's the command. Obviously, Jesus is the healer, but it's given you authority. Now, the problem with authority is what? It can be abused. It can be misused. It can be misunderstood. It could not be used, which is just as bad. Not using the authority you've been given. And there could be a lack of wisdom in the way that authority has been given. Now, Jesus said, you can say to this mountain, jump into the sea. But why wouldn't you command a mountain to jump into the sea? What are the consequences of a mountain? Let's say, who said that? Yes. Tsunami, tidal wave of epic proportions. Can you imagine Mount Everest going in the Pacific? Can you imagine the effects of that? It's going to hurt a lot of people. So you have to have wisdom in the way you exercise authority. Okay. Just saying, I've seen authority used and abused in ways that just grieves my heart. I better not get on my hobby horse. I remember being at a New Wine conference, and I was wanting to demonstrate how you can exercise authority. So I was trying to find some creative ways to show how you can release healing. Because actually, you know, when you have authority, you can choose the way. Let me explain. So I was asked to, I thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm thinking of an office environment. Let's say three ways you can minister healing with, I don't have it, a glass of water. Okay, let's pretend that's a glass of water. When I was doing this, people were afraid to sit at the front. So let's say you're in an office environment, this is what I was going to do. This was like thousands of people in a conference. I said, right now, you're in an office, you have a sick colleague, how are you going to minister to that colleague? Do you know there's sometimes you cannot lay hands on a person and pray in the name of Jesus because you get the sack. Do you know that? Okay, so let's be creative. So I thought of a way that I was going to demonstrate. I was actually going to do this. And my son, my eldest son, who has more wisdom than me at times, because I said, right, what I was going to do, I just threw it his way. I said, look, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask one person to come out. And I'm going to say, let's say you're in an office environment and they're sick and you can minister healing this way. So you get the cup of water, okay, and then you pour it over the head. Okay. Or the second way, I'm going to call another person up and say, you can minister healing this way, and you can throw the glass in their face. That's the second way you could do it. Or the third way is you can give them the cup of water to drink. Yes. Which of those three would you choose? Now, I was going to do this in a conference. My eldest son said, Dad, I think you better try it with me first. I said, okay, which one should I try first? I said, let me try the throwing the water. So I got the cup of water and I threw it in his face. His whole shirt was soaked. He said, Dad, you can't do that. I said, okay, let me try this one. I poured the water over his head. It went down the back of his shirt and into his trousers. I said, Dad, you really can't do that one. Right? I said, oh. I said, Dad, that, you know, I need to do this. I need to show. So I got invited to speak at the Boulder Gang, which are like 10 to 11 year olds. there was a shed of 600 young people, right, hungry for God. I loved being in that shed. The worship there was out of this world. It was so amazing. And I had a word of knowledge. I should get that. I had a word of knowledge for some children with skin conditions like eczema. And I was wondering how I was going to break this, going to share this word. Because they wanted me to share some stories, show them how to pray, and then pray. Teach them how to pray very quickly. And I'm sharing some God stories, and this little boy runs up to the front and he says, "Can God do anything about eczema?" I thought, well, there's my cue. Mm-hmm. So I said, if any of you suffer, right, can sit down. Any of you suffer with eczema or psoriasis, please stand. And like a load of these young people stood up. It's quite common, you know, 10 to 11 years. A lot of them had eczema, psoriasis. I said, okay, put your hand, if it's possible, put your hand on the part of your body that you have this condition. And they did that. And I said, okay, now those of you around the one stand, you stand up and very gently lay your hands on them. Now I'm going to teach you how to pray, and we're going to pray. And so I taught them how to pray, and I prayed. And I said to them, this is the way healing comes. It can come in three ways, either instantly, gradually, or there's no sign of healing. And I said to them, I have to be honest with you, I've never seen eczema healed instantly. Right? It's possible. I've never seen it healed instantly. So if there's no sign of anything happening, it doesn't mean that God doesn't love you, and it doesn't mean you're not going to be healed. Because I didn't want them to lose faith if they weren't healed, you know. So it's my lack of faith, actually. Because I've seen people healed of eczema, really severe eczema, over 3 days or a week, but never instantly. So I taught them how to pray, to exercise using a word of command, to command the eczema psoriasis to dissolve away and go. I said, that's how you do it, now go. And there was like beautiful sound of children praying, you know, young people praying, taking authority. And then as they're praying, suddenly there's pockets of excitement around the room. This big shed, six pockets of excitement. I'm curious. So I stopped and said, okay, who's healed? Hands went up. Now, at that point, my heart is being challenged. And I thought, well, Lord, they're young and exuberant, you know. Leaders came up to me and said, Mark, miracles are taking place. There's a 10-year-old girl whose eczema was so painful, and it was like covering her arms here in the... You know, she couldn't touch her arms. They were so painful. The young people surrounding her couldn't touch her. They prayed. They watched the eczema disappear. Wow. Right? Okay. When they saw that, it was like these young people, they see that. The whole place went, when we started praying, the whole place went crazy. It tumbled out of that shed. I had parents chasing me for days after. What have you done to my son? He was chasing a man off with crutches and like he's off the crutches and chasing people. So anyway, that's not the story I wanted to tell you. That's not the story I wanted to tell you. I'm telling you stories again. It's terrible. So what happened was, I saw these water pistols they had there. Like they had a water pistol, small one, and they had a super soaker, right? I thought, can I borrow these? Because I've got a seminar tomorrow, and I've had these four seminars, and I want to use it to demonstrate something. So sure, so let me borrow them. So I filled them up with water, super soaker, and I bought some water pistol. And I had them on the table, all filled, ready to go. And the tents start to fill. And these young people are so hungry for God. They came into the tent. This is an adult seminar. But they were so hungry for more of what they received. They came in, you know, great. There was like, you know, reserved seating for VIPs. And so nobody was sitting there. And they went over there because they thought their seating's free. And they saw it, and I said, oh, they can't sit. And I said, hey, guys, those seats are reserved for you. So they loved that. That was great. They sat there. And I thought, God, you're so kind. You're so kind to have these young people here, because this is perfect. I said, okay, now I'm going to demonstrate how you can exercise authority. I said, I noticed a lot of young people over there. Any of you need healing, please come and stand in the front. So a load of them came,
and stood at the front here.
And I said, I'm now going to minister healing to you with a water pistol in the name of Jesus. I thought, new wine will never let me back after this. So I started with this side and I went around in the face. There were some cheeky looking boys that needed a little bit more, so I went back. Okay, check your healing, right? They check the healing, they're all healed.
Amen.
Parents are coming, they say, my son is healed, my daughter is healed. The place erupted. Word. Right? I said, fan, guys, thank you, sit down.
Oh my God.
So, adults, where are you? And then I did that, and then they invited me back. And I thought, wow, that's amazing, invite me back. So I can't use water. Oh, gosh, that was like all last year. I've got to use something else. I need some inspiration, Lord. And I found this toy, right, called an Airzooka. Anyone know what an Airzooka is? Hands up, you know what an Airzooka is. Ah, oh, there you go. In the know. It's like this waste paper bin, right? You know the waste paper bin? It's a shape like that, small dustbin. And it's got a handle on it, and the bigger end has got this plastic kind of contraption, like a bag, with a rubber band inside that pulls back, and there's a hole in this end, okay? And I got the deluxe model with sights on it and everything, and you can aim it, right? You pull it back like this, and when you let go, it goes... makes quite a loud popping noise, but it shoots a vortex ball of air in a straight line. In this room, I could aim it and hit every single person here accurately in the face with a ball of air. Now, don't ask me the science for it. It's a vortex. It goes. You can fill it with smoke and fire it. And I thought, this is fantastic. And they asked me to speak in the Boulder Gang. So I went to the Boulder Gang and I thought, I'm going to try it out here first before I try it on the adults. So I said, who doesn't know what this toy is? And loads of them had never seen it before. I said, okay, I need to demonstrate. I said, I need a volunteer. And this boy came up to onto the platform with spiky hair. So how am I going to... So I got a paper cup and I hooked it over his spiky hair. And I got him to stand about as far away as that. I took aim and the paper cup went... They were great for chasing cats. Our boys, when they had hold of this, had to tell them not to fire at our cats because they were loving it. The cats were going jumping in the air, you know, hit by a ball of air. So once they saw what it did, I said, now I'm going to minister healing to you with an Airzooka. Try and... Anyway, they're getting here. So I brought it to the adult session. I was going to use it to demonstrate. And again, these young people came into the meeting, again, hungry for more of God. And I thought to myself, Lord, I want to give this away, this Airzooka away. And the first child that comes and asks to look at it is the one I'm going to give away to. So it was like this bright blue color, right? It was an amazing color. And it was then I'm sitting in the chair ready, and this boy is pulling his dad up to the front. And he was saying, Dad, there it is. He says, can I have a look at it, please? Right. And so I thought, well, there you are. Here's the boy this Zuka is going to go to. Anyway, because he wanted his dad to buy it. But his arm was in a plaster cast because he'd broken his arm, and it was the exact colour of the Airzooka. I mean, how kind is God to colour coordinate? The colour coordinate, the Airzooka with his plaster cast. I thought, God, you're so kind. Anyway, so time came. I said, I noticed a lot of young people here. If you need healing, could you please come to the front? So a load of them came, including this boy who had broken his arm. And I said, now I'm going to minister healing to you in the name of Jesus with an Airzooka. And I zookaed them. And you see the hair going. Little boy with the plaster cast. Okay, check your healing. They're healed. The place erupts. Right? And this little boy with the plaster cast was just about to turn and say, hey, hold on a minute. You know your heavenly father had pre-ordered this for you? I gave it to him. You should have seen a look on his face. He was so bowled over. But he was seen to be going around the campsite, zookering people in the name of Jesus. And zookering them. In the name of Jesus, be healed. He went around, healed, and people were getting healed. Now, I don't suggest that you go around with a water pistol. I don't suggest that you go around with an air zooker. But when you have authority, it's up to you how you choose. Now, that gives you some creative ideas outside of the model. I'll just throw a little snippet to you. What you'll find is this, that Jesus and disciples never prayed a petitioning prayer when it came to healing. Let me explain. Here's John. If your name's John, again, not a word of knowledge for you. Please don't panic. But this imaginary John here has got liver cancer. How are you going to pray? So I see two perspectives. One perspective is from earth towards heaven. And the prayer goes like this. Heavenly Father, I lift John up to you. Please heal him and remove this dreadful disease of liver cancer. Make him completely whole. Some might add, if it's your will, which you shouldn't, never ask that anyway. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. That seems like a perfectly normal prayer. But you'll never see Jesus or the disciples ever praying a prayer like that. Do you know that? That prayer is akin to you going to your boss and asking your boss to do a job he's given you to do. Mm-hmm. So let's imagine you're a policeman or a policewoman. You have the uniform of a policeman or a policewoman. You have the authority in the name of the Lord to arrest people, to do what police do, and the power to back up your authority. Let's say you see someone breaking into a car across the road. For whatever reason, but they're breaking in. It's not their car, by the way. They're breaking in. What is your instinct as a policeman or a policewoman? You're going to arrest them. That's right, you're going to arrest them. That is what you'll do. You have the authority and the power to do that. Yeah. But let's say instead of arresting them, you go to your next in command and you say, hey, Sarge, I'm sorry to bother you, but I just noticed someone breaking into a car. And if it wasn't too much trouble, could you please go and arrest them? I mean, you'd get the sack. If you went to your boss and asked your boss to do a job he's given you to do, you'd get the sack for it, wouldn't you? It's absurd. And Jesus said, you heal the sick, you raise the dead, you drive out demons, you cleanse those of skin conditions, you preach good news to the poor, freely you've received, freely give. So it's our job to do. This is what we've been commissioned to do. This. Jesus gave it to the 12, the 72, then the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to you. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, and teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Heal the sick, raise the dead. So somebody walks by and drops dead tomorrow. When we're on the streets, they have a heart attack or something, and they drop dead in front of you. What are you going to do? Yes. Who's done their first aid training? Hands up. What would you do when somebody stops breathing? CPR, great. So you first thing you can do, go and do CPR. Others of us are going to be ringing the emergency service and telling them what? Person's not breathing, okay? And the CPR is going on. But the rest of us, what are we going to say to the corpse? Get up. Love your faith. That's it. Get up. It's a good start, okay? Because that's what Jesus said. I wish I had time to tell you about the dead being raised. I don't. He gives us authority to do that. One perspective is from earth towards heaven. God, please heal John. God, would you please move? Let's identify the mountain. The mountain in John's life is liver cancer. We want the liver cancer to move. That's the mountain. And the petitioning prayer is, God, please move the mountain. It's asking God to move the mountain. You'll never see Jesus or disciples ever praying a prayer like that for healing. If you do, please let me know and I'll change my teaching. Never see it. It's always a demonstration of the power and authority of Jesus and his kingdom. The other perspective is the one where we're seated with Jesus, being a child of heaven, a citizen of God's kingdom, heir of God, co-heir of Christ, having been raised up with him, seated with him, with his delegated authority as an ambassador and a representative and a carrier of divine presence, a royal priesthood, and he says, now you go and do what I've been doing. You speak to that condition. Whatever you bind on earth, I will bind in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I will loose in heaven. That just means we've made it so complicated. So I give you authority. Keys are a symbol of authority. When you speak, I back up from heaven. So from that perspective, we speak to the mountain. When you speak to the mountain, one, you're not praying to God, and two, you're not commanding God. God is our boss. We don't command the boss. But we speak to the mountain. And when we speak to the mountain, Jesus is listening. Whatever you bind on earth, I will. Yeah. So he's listening. Liver cancer, I forbid you life. You cannot grow, you cannot spread in John's body. You will do him no more harm. And I command you to shrivel and die right now. I speak to every cancerous cell and I command you to die. I summon a whole army of cancer-destroying cells, command you to destroy these cancerous cells. I speak to the liver to come alive. I speak actually into being a brand new liver. Amen. I speak to every organ in your body, John, come alive. Healthy bones and healthy blood. I release divine health to you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. In the mighty name of Jesus, be healed. And if you don't know how to pray, the simplest word of command is be healed. If you can think of nothing else, speak, be healed in Jesus' name. Okay, because you speak, and you may be, someone may say to you a condition you never heard of before. Well, how does that affect you? How does that affect you? You know, I was in Sweden recently and prayed for a guy who had Horton syndrome. Anyone ever heard of that? It's cluster headaches. Who suffers with cluster headaches here? Anyone in this room suffered with like migraine cluster headaches? Had a migraine headaches? Anyone? Is it you? No, interesting. We're going to pray for you in a moment. Amen. Just why? Just the Lord. Just.
His name is Hortense.
Your name is Hortense? Wow. Okay. Ah, yes. Because I was standing behind you and thinking, of course, because you look different from the front than you do from behind. The Lord wanted to touch you. So that's great. Could you stand? And could you stand as well behind you? Have cluster headaches or more headaches or migraine? Okay. Now the church just turn to these two here. Okay, now in the mighty name of Jesus, we take authority over all migraine headaches, cluster headaches. We rebuke it. We command it to go from you. We forbid it from remaining in you. We command all sickness and disease go. We forbid it. Life in you. We drive it out in Jesus' name. Be healed. Hortense, be healed in Jesus' name from every condition. That the pain in your head, we command to leave and never return in Jesus' name. The gentleman behind you as well, we speak healing.
Amen.
Sorry? And arthritis, we drive out arthritis in every joint in your body. We command every bone in your body be healed in Jesus' name. All the pain and sickness, infirmity and weakness go. We speak life to every nerve in your body, to every cell in your body, your muscles and your sinews and your nerves and your tendons and all those joints. Right now, we drive out arthritis in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Great. Thanks, Hortense. Let's know, and gentlemen behind, let's know how you get on. So what you do is you find out, if somebody shares a condition with you you've never heard of before, just say, hey, you know, I've never heard of that condition. How does that affect you? So that when they share with you, you don't need a full medical history, but when they share with you, you have a better understanding of how to pray. Because your words have the power of life and death. With it you can bless and with it you can curse. So you want to speak life and health. You know, when someone is weak, then you want to speak strength. If someone is blind, then you want to speak, you know, eyesight. They can see. You want to pray the opposite of what is effective. So you need sometimes a bit of wisdom. And just to ask a simple question, and you can begin to pray. The simplest word of command is be healed. Now it may be that when you start to pray, you may not remember those things, and you may be mixing up the prayers. So sometimes one of the things you've got to do, learn to pray with your eyes open. This can be the most difficult thing for many of us, that we naturally close our eyes to pray. Yep. On the streets, learn to pray with your eyes open. You can do it, but you have to be intentional in doing that, and you will learn how to do it. But keep reminding yourself, because you'll find yourself, your eyes closed, and you keep thinking, gosh, I just prayed, and that my eyes are closed all the time. I have seen a person sitting on the chair, the team praying, they've all got their eyes closed, they've missed what the Holy Spirit is doing. For a start, this man is manifesting. And you certainly want to have your eyes open if somebody's manifesting, right? A demon. You want to have your eyes open when you see the Holy Spirit resting on a person. And the Holy Spirit will give you clues and wants to communicate something with you. So watch very carefully. And also, your eyes are the window to your soul. And you are praying for a complete stranger who has no idea who you are. And their thought is, they're after something. What are they after? After my money. Where's my wallet? You see them go, because they're not sure. They think, oh, what these guys are? Who are they? And your eyes are the window to your soul. And you have to speak with conviction, sincerity, from the bottom of your heart. You have to speak what you believe, really. What you believe. And so that person goes, that person, is he sincere about what he's saying? He really does believe what he's saying. So you might pray a prayer like this. Let me give you an example. Okay, here's John. I'm going to start praying. Oops, my eyes are closed. Open your eyes. Keep your eyes open, right? So here we go. God, please move this mountain. Hang about, that was a petitioning prayer, wasn't it? Can I just start that again? Let me just do that again. God, move this mountain. Sorry, Lord, I'm commanding you. You're the boss. Sorry about it. I didn't mean to command you, Lord. Can I do that one more time? Mountain, move. And there you've got it. But what you'll find yourself doing is you'll be praying with your eyes open and closed. You'll be petitioning God. You'll be commanding God, and you'll be commanding the mountain. But it's okay. What I mean by it, when you're learning, because God is more concerned about the compassion in your heart than he is about the content of your prayers. And it doesn't matter. You may think, God, I opened my mouth and a prayer came out back to front. That was awful. But the Lord says, no, that's perfect. Because it's what's in your heart is really important, okay? So when you pray your best prayer is a prayer that comes from your heart, connected to the person who's being lifted up to the Lord. But learn, the reason why words of command are so important is because it's easier when we're learning, and the reason why we do this, it's easier for the Holy Spirit to begin to give you depth of insight and breadth of understanding about what it means to walk with authority. So that when you begin to understand what it means to carry and walk in authority, it's not so much about words. It's about what you carry. Mm. That everything about you, you know, everything inside of you shouts out Jesus. Amen. Do you know that? If you had a megaphone attached to you, you would hear Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You know, everything inside of you, everything inside of him pours, and everything is just proclaiming who Jesus is. Amen. Everything. When you go to the supermarket and reach out your hand for the can of baked beans, you would hear Jesus. Oh, gosh, I don't have time. I have so many stories I want to tell you, but I just don't have time to tell you them. Did I mention about the witch who came at me with a pair of scissors?
No.
Oh, gosh. Oh. All right, I'll just tell you this one. So I'm learning how to pray, taken under the wing by these intercessors I told you about. This particular intercessor, her name is Violet. She was 77 years of age. And we had this ex-witch headed up several covens. She had 500 years of witchcraft in her family. All her family were involved in witchcraft. She had a power struggle with her brother. Her brother lost, had to leave the country, went to live in South Africa. She knew the only way out of witchcraft was through repentance. Turning to Jesus. I mean, really turn to Jesus. She did that. She went through a period of deliverance. Her mother called her son back from South Africa and said, she's turned to Christianity. Come back. So he was phoning her up and saying, if you don't come back, you know what's going to happen. She said, I belong to Jesus now. Can't do anything. I'm not afraid. On the day of summer solstice, when she should have been at this meeting, because you know what will happen if you don't turn up? Her brother died of a massive heart attack. I wish I could tell you more of that story, but here's the thing. If you could ever do deliverance in a room, try not to do it in a small room where someone does their sewing. Because in the back of the room, there was a sewing machine, and on the wall were hanging two pairs of scissors, one a small pair and one a long pair, like a pair of shears, to cut long reels of fabric. I'm a young Christian. I'm learning, okay? So this woman is on her hands and knees, her eyes tightly shut, the long dark hair hanging to the ground. I'm two steps away, and I'm commanding this demon to go, to leave her in the name of Jesus. She's shuffling back. I'm following like this. She's shuffling back until she can't go any further. Her back's to the wall. Her eyes are still shut. Her left hand whips round behind her, not to the short pair, but the long pair of scissors. She jumps up, slow motion. Imagine slow motion. Right, as she's jumping up, these long pair of shears like this, I look into her eyes. All happens in slow motion. Imagine. And I see demonic fury. This demon wants to take me out. Now, in that moment, she's this far away from me. What kind of prayer are you going to pray? Well, did you pray in the name of Jesus? This is how my prayer went. It went, ah! That's what I did. I went, ah! I went, ah! And the scissors flew out of her hand into the corner. She dives into this corner, and the Lord sets her free. For now, those of you that need interpretation and translation, ah means in the name of Jesus. Because authority is a state of being. It's a state of being. It's not using words like a mantra.
That's good.
Well, did you keep praying in the name of Jesus? You know, seven sons of Sceva tried that. They'd heard Paul drive out demons in the name of Jesus. So they're trying to drive a demon out of a man. In the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. The demon says to these seven brothers, well, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? I love, as a young Christian, I'm reading this, I'm chuckling like anything. I'm thinking, oh, I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have seen what happened. Could you just imagine seven brothers looking at each other and say, guys, I think we're in trouble. The only exit out of the house has been blocked by this demonized man. You know what happens? He beats them all up. He beats them up. I would love to have seen what happened at the house. This demonized man, you know, demonized strength. They run naked and bleeding from the house. That's what the Bible says, naked and bleeding. I was probably thinking, we are never going to invoke the name of Jesus again, ever. Yeah? But you walk as an ambassador of Christ. Now, you're going to be asked this question, by what name, by what power, by what authority do you do these things in? It will be challenged. You will not escape it. You will be challenged. And you need to know, not here, but in here, so that it becomes part of you walking it. You walk it. So people say, how do you warfare? I am warfare. Why? Because I understand, as a child of heaven, what it is I carry.
Amen.
I'm no different to a four-year-old who's just accepted Jesus. Mm-hmm. Do you know a four-year-old has authority? Yeah. A four-year-old? We've seen it in our church. They pray, they have healing on the seats. In church, two-year-olds and four-year-olds, they put chairs out in church. Sick parents come and sit, and they go and they pray. Authority's got nothing to do with character. You have it. You just have it. You're born into it. You receive it. So, but you need wisdom. Oh, gosh, I've gone way over time on that. I'm sorry. I need to teach you how to do this. I've got to tell you how to do this. Oh, Lord, please help me. So, right, so you speak to condition. Okay, I'm going to just jump. I need a volunteer. Come on. There, come on. Free, yes. Okay, please, now some do's and don'ts. Thank you. Sorry? Yeah, some do's and don'ts. Here's some do's and don'ts, right, for this ministry. First of all, the most important one, don't act weird on the streets. Don't act weird on the streets. What does it mean by that? Okay, I'll show you. So, one, don't shout when you pray. Okay, don't shout. But pray loud enough so the person you're praying for can hear you and the team can hear what you're praying so they can agree with you. All right, don't whisper so they, what did you say? You know, go. Right, pray loud enough so the person can hear you and the team can hear you. Don't pray like you're in a Shakespearean play. Don't use Christian jargon. You have the word of God in you. What is the Lord wanting to say to the person who sits here? Put it in everyday language. It's very important, okay? Don't pray in tongues aloud. Now, this is a rule for HOTS. Now, I pray in tongues, I sing in tongues, but when we're on the streets for this particular ministry, outside of it, you could do whatever you want, you know. But in this ministry, please don't do that. The person will only think you're mad anyway. You won't understand it. If you want to pray inwardly in tongues and spirit, please do. Please don't do this. I've called this a traffic cop. I've named some of these, okay? Please, if you do any of these, don't get offended with me. You can be more creative than some of the things I'm going to show you. Here's one. This is called the traffic cop. Seen that one? You're like a mile away. And people are going, is he okay? Does he need a doctor? Does he think he's a traffic policeman or something? You know. See that one? Yeah, right. This is called how do you do? This is called bye-bye. This is called I'm a conduit. You know, like a power goes through a conduit.
Yeah.
Or I have the power. Or playing the bongo. Please don't play the bongo. I was at New Wine Conference and I asked for a volunteer and they came up and I was doing this and the next day the volunteer came up to me, smart. Do you remember when I was a volunteer, I came up, I said, yeah. I said, do you remember when you were playing the bongo? I said, yes. I got healed. I said, great, but don't tell anybody. I'm not telling people, don't do this. Like, control your hands. Don't do that. When you do lay your hand on somebody's head, if you do lay your hand on their head, please don't rest your arm there. Because, you know, this is so comfortable. I mean, I can pray like this all day. I can pray like this till the cows come home. The person is thinking, why is this man driving my skull through my spine? You don't realize how heavy your arm is. Okay, so you have to have a light touch. Please do not place your hands in any inappropriate places, only if it's legal and appropriate. I shouldn't have to explain that to anybody. You understand what I mean? We prefer men to pray with men and women for women. We only mix teams if we are lacking in resources of people. And if we are, then you have to be sensitive when praying for the opposite sex. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. There are some things that a woman will not want to share with a man around. Mm-hmm. I don't have to say any more than that, okay? So please, Ross. Please don't wear sunglasses. If you're wearing those glasses that react to light, that's okay, but it's important that the person who sits in the chair is able to see your eyes. Mm. If they're wearing sunglasses, they've got a cigarette in one hand and a can of beer in the other, it's okay. Doesn't matter. Let them receive from the Lord whatever he wants to do. Does that make sense? Okay. don't accept money. In Ireland, they throw money at you. We say, thank you, you have such a generous heart. Thank you so much. But, you know, this is a gift from God to you. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you and paid the price. So you can receive this healing. He wants you to receive this as a gift. Thank you for your generous heart. You know? So we don't accept, we never accept money on the streets. Thea, thank you so much. Great.
Great bongoing.
Great bongoing. What I would say is this. If someone has, when they've told you they have a sickness or something that's wrong in their body, if it's appropriate, place your hand close to the area where they need healing, okay? But let's say there's three of you. So what will happen? Someone comes and sits in the chair. If they come, let's say I meet John. Someone's coming and they slow me down, they look interested, and I stop and say, hey, you know, any extra pains? Could I pray for you for anything? Do you need healing? What we're doing here? And John says, well, actually, I'm not well. I said, what do you need healing for? Well, I went to a doctor and I wasn't feeling well. He sent me to the hospital. They x-rayed me. I have liver cancer and they've given me 14 months to live. John, could we pray for you? You know, Jesus loves you, can heal you. We've seen God heal before. Would you come? It won't cost you anything. But I'll come with you to the chair. So you walk with John to the chair. Now, if I'm taking John, I'll wait until another two guys come, another one or two. So not more. So let's say not more than three. Three is about a good number. And then everyone who comes will introduce themselves to John by name. Introduce themselves and then find out John's name. Remember his name. Use it throughout prayer. When he's standing, you can remain standing and talk to him. But the moment that John sits, you kneel. Okay? Don't kneel behind the chair, where it's a good place to hide. You need to be in a position where he can see you. So you kneel around him. Then I would say, John, can you just tell the others what's going on with you, what you need prayer for? So John begins to explain. When he's explained, you don't need a full medical history unless you're a doctor. One place I went to near Birmingham, I wasn't told. Got the name of it now. 28% of the congregation were doctors.
Wow.
One was a senior surgeon, retired in Great Ormond Street. Senior surgeon. Who actually said to me on the Friday night when I demonstrated, I see but I don't believe. The whole team were all doctors that went out on the streets. He was including, and he came on a Sunday. And he testified with tears in his eyes and said, I avoid anything like this. He said, I said on the Friday night, I see, but I don't believe. And then in repentance, I now say, not only do I see, but I believe. There were doctors. This is a team of doctors who are known for doctors being sent to them who need healing. Doctors who need healing go to this group of doctors and they get healed. It's fantastic. Why did I say that?
Hallelujah.
I forgot why I said that.
Don't ask for a full medical history unless you're a doctor.
Don't ask for a full medical history, thank you, unless you're a doctor. I do sometimes, I have to confess, get jealous of doctors in faith. When they know exactly what's going on in a person's body and they begin to speak and they speak all the Latin bits and pieces in the body, I'm going... Great, have doctors with you in faith. It's wonderful. So don't ask for full medical. Just where does it hurt? Find out where it hurts. They'll tell you. So everybody knows, okay, let's pray. Oh, I've never heard of that condition before. How does it affect you? Can you just, you know, how does it make you unwell? How does it feel? What does it do? Find out. Then you've got some wisdom how to pray. Okay. John, would it be okay if we lay hands on you to pray? So you need to ask permission. Don't just slap your hands anywhere. Just say, first one person asks, is it okay if we lay hands on you to pray? Sure, it's okay. Great. Find a part of his body you can lay your hand on an arm or a knee or something. that you feel comfortable and he feels comfortable in doing that. If you're able to put your hand close to the area that needs healing, do that, only if it's appropriate. Then you all have your eyes open. Don't close your eyes. You'll feel like you want to close your eyes. Don't. Keep your eyes open. Then what you're going to do is, before you go any further, you're going to begin to speak God's love into John's life. Whatever it is that God is speaking to you and wants to communicate to John, use your own words to do that. And you'll feel, just say, God, you know, if you lack love for people, by the way, God pours his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. He gives his Spirit without limit. Ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, I feel completely dry. I need to have love for people. Mm-hmm. Will you please give me your love? Don't give out of your own love. If you give out of your own love, you know what will happen? You will burn out. You will suffer with compassion fatigue. After, you know, if you're doing this regularly, you'll go out. One Saturday, you'll wake up and you won't want to go on the streets. You go, I want to stay in bed. Because you've been given out of your own strength. You have to learn to draw water from the deep wells of the Holy Spirit. Receive from him continually. So you're ready in season, out season. Continue to receive and keep receiving from him and wait. And here's the time. Tomorrow, I've got a big bucket. I've been saving it all up. Because the moment someone sits in that chair, I may never see them again. And here's my opportunity. Here's the spot. I want their lives to be transformed, to experience something, an encounter with God where they'll never be the same again. So you need to receive from the Holy Spirit to release what the Holy Spirit gives to you. Now, what you're going to do, you're going to tell them about God's love. Look them in the eyes and say, this is what God wants to say to you. And in a nutshell, you're saying this: God loves you with all of his heart. So that's it in a nutshell. Okay? Your life is precious to him. And whatever God would give to you, a heart that is overflowing with love, all the gifts of the Spirit will flow. And you'll find a little thing. You've got to be quick. You just be aware. You need to learn to have your eyes on the person, your eyes on the team. You're listening to the person, but you're listening to the Lord. Right? And he will give you a thought, an impression, a sense, a feeling, a picture, and it could be in a split second. And you have to be ready to and have faith to release whatever it is he's given. And it could be just a small impression. And it may not be that God will give you anything else until you, by faith, you begin to speak it out. So you begin to speak it out, he'll give you more. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, obviously, if it's contrary to what God's word says, and it's obviously not from him. So let it be affirming. Let it be something, or something that will speak into that person's life, the truth of God. And once you've done that, once, and then you can look to your team, say, "Do you want to? Is there something you want to share? Is there something you want to say?" But if not, then what you begin to do, you invite now an increase of God's presence. His Holy Spirit is already there. You want more. Lord, we invite your presence, increase your presence now, and you begin to watch. You'll see signs of the Holy Spirit resting on the person. Those signs could be different. You will see this, like in the natural. That's his peace and his rest coming. They're all like this, you know, and you'll suddenly see them begin to soften, the rest, and the Spirit of God. If your eyes are open, you're watching, you'll see the Spirit of God begin to rest on them. Some people, their eyelids will begin to flutter. There could be tears or weeping. There could be laughter. There could be a sheen on their face. There could be shaking, trembling. They could have waves of power or electricity going through their body or heat. One young man in Dundee, when they invited the Holy Spirit to come, because the way people experience the Holy Spirit can be different from person to person. Mm-hmm. This young man jumped to his feet, his fist clenched like this, right? He looked under the chair, he's looking in everyone's hands. I'm gonna knock out the person who's got the blower heater in his hand. Because he thought someone was trying to fool him, right? So what's wrong? Mm-hmm. Who's got the blower heater? What do you mean? Someone's blowing hot air on me. Who is he? No. It's the Holy Spirit of God is resting on you. He said, it is. He went, I'm sorry, he said. That's okay, calm down, sit down, sit down, sat down. Holy Spirit, come. He goes, the blower heater's on me again. He says, okay, receive. And he received powerfully from the Lord. The Holy Spirit will, in different ways, touch people in different ways, okay? So just be aware. It may be the slightest, and you know he's there. When you see that, when you sense that, when you feel that, now you're going to speak. So you can petition God. It's okay to petition God. You've been lifting him up to God. God, you love him. You care. All the things, insight, understanding, words of knowledge, prophetic words, let it flow. All the gifts can flow. Now you're going to speak to the mountain, whatever that mountain is. You may not know if it's physical, emotional, or spiritual. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit will teach you. But if you don't know, don't worry. What needs to change, speak to the mountain. If the mountain needs to move, command it to move. Back pain. Back pain, I command you to go. Command you to go. And I release the spine. I speak flexibility, mobility, and freedom. Be healed. Simple as that. It's a quick prayer. That's a prayer of authority. Then you, when one person prays, then you, when you finish praying, your best prayer, you look to your team and the look says, your turn. So you'd be queuing your prayer up. Get ready to pray. Don't leave a long space of silence where you're going, nobody's saying anything. Because if nobody's saying anything, it means it's over. And the person who's receiving goes, oh, you've done it. Right? So, but try to, everyone, try your best to pray, even if it's be healed or to say something. God loves you. God cares for you. Begin to speak. Then get them to test their healing out. So when they come for prayer, one, you don't make the promise of healing or the guarantee, and you don't tell them they're healed until they've confirmed it. They will either need to go to a doctor to confirm that. But when you ask, and this is a step of faith on your part, and also sometimes on the part of the person you've just prayed for, ask them to test their healing out. They may have to move. They may have to try something. So here's a woman. She had fallen off the back of a fire engine. I completely forgot to ask her what she was doing on top of a fire engine. She fell off the back of a fire engine. She had her head on the ground. Blood began to pour out of the corner of her left eye. And she's totally blind. She's been totally blind for 5 years. The doctor examined her and they said, we're sorry, there was irreparable nerve damage to your eye. You will never see again through the eye. So she was lived with blindness. But what was frightening her was that a recent eye examination showed she had degenerative nerve damage in her right eye. Her fear was she would go totally blind. So the team gathered around her. They very gently placed their hands over her eyes. They commanded the blind eye to open in the name of Jesus, right? They all prayed. The moment they took the hands away, she shrieked out, I can see! Instantly healed. She's saying, I can see. We then said to her, Jesus has healed you. Instant healing. The most common way healing comes is the Bible says, a believer shall lay the hands on the sick shall recover. The word recover signifies a period of time. You have to pray your best prayer, leave the results to God. But you look for signs of movement. So, person can't lift their arm up. Let's say they can only lift it that high. You pray. Can you check, you know, if there's any more movement? So they try and suddenly they can lift their arm higher. Say, hey, that's better. Or I have less pain, I have more movement. Then Jesus is in the process of healing you. Right, he's in the process of healing you. So it may be that you feel that you only need to pray once, or it may be that you're prompted to pray a second time or even a third time. Then please do, if you feel prompted by the Holy Spirit. But just say to him, Jesus is in the process of healing you. So it may be that you pray again. Can I pray again? Sure. So you pray again. This time they can lift it even higher. Right, and just keep going until you feel that you've prayed enough. There's not more than you've got to give. Then say, Jesus is in the process of healing you. Will you come back and let us know? We believe you're going to be completely healed. But if there's still If you're not 100% healed, come back, we'll pray for you again. And the third way, so Jesus has healed you, Jesus is in the process of healing you, and the third way, you pray your best prayer, no sign of anything. Okay, no sign of anything. So what do you say and do? We're afraid of this answer. Normally we don't ask after we've prayed how they are, but they, because you're afraid the answer is there's no change. Well, what we do is we say, this doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. And we reaffirm God's love to them. And then we say, now, is it getting warm in here? I'm feeling really hot. Is it just temperature, Holy Spirit temperature? Sorry, can you open that door for a sec? Thank you so much. So we reaffirm God's love to them. And we say to them, this doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. You can be healed as you go. It can happen instantly, can happen gradually. You can wake up tomorrow and find yourself healed. So here's a story. And I'm going to show you how we're going to put it into action. Just do one demonstration. And then we're finished, okay? And then you can do it. Any questions and answers, questions. So a couple came on holiday to the coast where we live, the Causeway Coast where we're living and where Coleraine is, for a two-week holiday. They travelled 110 miles away from a town called Cavan. At the end of their holiday, the two-week holiday, they came into town to do some shopping. They saw our banner and thought, we've got nothing to lose. Let's go and get some prayers. So the husband brought his wife, who's paralysed in a wheelchair, and parked it between two chairs. The team came around, gathered around her feet, began to tell her about the love of Jesus, began to pray their best prayer. When they finished praying, they said to her, now, can you try and move your feet? Do something that you can do. Please do not drag someone out of a wheelchair. Please do not lift them up under their armpits and start walking them around. Okay, don't do that. Just say, try and do something with your legs you haven't been able to do before. So she tried her best. Nothing was moving. Still nothing there. Still no feeling, nothing. No movement. So after a little bit more prayer, we left her in a place of faith. Always leave them in a place of faith. And we said, God loves you. God cares for you. Reaffirm God's love towards her. This doesn't also mean that you're not going to be healed. You could be healed. Now we begin to tell her how healing comes. Not at the beginning, after we finish praying. You can be healed as you go. It can happen instantly, gradually. Or you could wake up tomorrow and find yourself healed. But if there's no change, would you let us know one way or the other? And we'll continue to pray for you. And as long as you allow us, we will pray for you. She thanked us. The husband thanked us. And they began to make the long journey back home, 110 miles they were driving. They got about halfway home. It's pouring of rain, which is not unusual in Ireland. When the wife said to her husband, stop the car, something's happening. Wow. So he pulls over to the side of the road. She gets out of the car in the pouring rain, begins to run around the car like a mad woman, and then up and down the street. She ran, healed. In the pouring rain. Their best friends travel 110 miles to us to tell us this news and to ask us if we could pray for them because they were unable to conceive. They couldn't have children. We have such a high track record of childless couples conceiving in Coleraine after we've prayed for them that we were contemplating putting a little brass plaque behind our hardwood garden chairs that said, warning, you're in danger of becoming pregnant. Because children are a blessing from God. And we wondered, I might as well continue this. We're going to finish in a moment. I'm going to leave you with something really juicy. So we wondered, Lord, why did you heal this woman on the way to Cavan? Because we're looking for any excuse to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we thought, right, we're going to Cavan. So we have two sets of equipment at the time. We gathered up another team. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, we left Coleraine to go 110 miles on a Saturday to Cavan. We arrive in Cavan, we set up our banner, put our chairs out, we knelt on the ground, we lent into God, we pray corporately, Lord, come, Holy Spirit, come, we submit ourselves to you. You are Lord over Cavan. You want to reach this town, you want to save and heal and deliver this town. God, come by the power of your Spirit. We can do nothing without you. And I would say to you, stay on your knees until the Holy Spirit comes, or pack up and go home. I say this to you, if you've been doing healing streets, don't get off your knees until the Holy Spirit comes. His presence fills the place. And if his presence doesn't come, then pack up and go home, because you're wasting your time. And we know the presence of God came. About 20 minutes later, people start to come, one by one, start coming to the chairs. A mother brought her 8-year-old son, who's been in and out of hospital since a child, since very, very young, for operations on his legs. He can't walk properly. And so the 8-year-old boy sits in the chair, the team kneel, they pray their best prayer for him. After finishing praying, they said, okay, hop off the chair, let's see what you can do. He walks in a perfect straight line up and down the street. His mother is going, oh, he's nearly falling out of her head. Suddenly she gets hold of a phone. She's going, he's like, go furiously phoning whoever, I don't know. Another 20, 25 minutes goes by and suddenly carloads of people suddenly pull up. And these people are full of people in the traveling community. Load the cars full to the brim with lung conditions, real serious conditions, and the Lord is meeting them and healing them.
Wow.
In a powerful way.
Amen.
Some women from this group are pleading with us, saying, please, can you let two of your women from your team come with us to we have two houses full of sick people who are unable to come here, because all these cars are our cars, but they're full, but they can't come. Two houses full of sick people, could you please come? And I'm looking, I mean, there's so many people coming for prayer. I thought, we need these two women, desperately need them. But they're pleading with us, please let them go with us. Reluctantly, I said, okay, Maxine, Caroline, you go. I said, please bring them back. In one piece, please bring them back. Okay, so they went. This is the story. They took them, they went to the first house. The house is full, they must have been calling all their neighbors. House is full of sick people. So they put a chair in the middle of the living room, healing on the street style, invited everyone to come. One by one, they came for prayer, right? God's healing touched them in a very powerful way. They finished praying in that house. They go to the next house, again, full of sick people. Come, one by one, they pray for him. There's a young man standing in the corner with a hunched back. His back is like with a severe hunch in it. But he's not coming. He thinks, well, it's okay for everybody else. But what I have is like, this is impossible. You know, everyone else looks healthy. Can't see it. But what I have is visible. So he wasn't coming. They coaxed him out of the corner with the love of God. God, Jesus loves you so much. Come. He died for you. Come. And they coaxed him out. And slowly he begins to move. Slowly he begins to move out the corner and he starts walking towards a chair. And as he's walking towards a chair, his spine begins to straighten out. By the time he reaches the chair, his spine is straight. The Lord doesn't want him to sit in the chair, right? But this is a story that gripped my heart and gets me to do what I do here. This is a story that really grips me. It wasn't that got me. Because God is God, and that's what he does. He's always good. But what really got me was this. The mother of this household doesn't know Jesus, has no relationship with God, does not know Jesus, got out of bed at 7 o'clock in the morning, knelt beside her bed, began to cry out to a God she didn't know. She said, God, if you are there, please help me. All my family are sick and I don't know what to do, God. And if you really exist and if you're really there, please send someone to help me. And at 7 o'clock in the morning, in the answer to her prayer, we left Coleraine to come.
Wow.
And what I say is this, that we are the answers to the prayers of those who cry out to a God they don't know. Because people are crying out to God. Do you know that? All they're looking for someone who knows Jesus, who has a living relationship with God. Oh, I've gone over time. You've been so patient. Bless you. That's it. There's more. I could do Pakistan time, Indian time, Jamaican time. Don't Jamaican. Nigerian time. Come on. I could do that. Any questions? Quickly. Any burning questions? You can pray for people in proxy, by the way. Just so let's say someone says, well, I don't need it, but my brother in Australia, John, he has cancer. So come and sit. So the person sits. You ask the same question. Can we lay hands on you? Find out what's wrong. Then you begin to lift John up. But if lift John up to God, invite God's presence. But then you pray for John as if he's sitting on the chair. You're going to touch two people then. And we've seen distance is an object for God. Okay, question, quick question, because we've gone over time.
I mean, what's the way to get inspiration for sitting on the chair?
The inspiration was very simple. But when I started to do this many years ago, people were falling all over the place. The power of God was coming. Bodies were falling all over the ground. And I thought, this is crazy. Someone's going to get injured because nobody's catching them. I mean, I saw things which, like, I'm going, ooh, ooh. And then when I did start to get people to stand behind it, in Edmonton Green, I have a word of knowledge for a woman who's standing there, and I have a word of knowledge. I know God wants to deliver her, set her free. I speak to her. She wants prayer. She stands. She won't face me. She's standing like she won't even look at me. She's standing like diagonal like this. I said, "Okay, you stand behind. Okay, make sure this one here stand behind. Okay, just start to pray." There's a Greek couple going by, mother and daughter. The Greek mother is saying to her daughter in Greek. It's all Greek to me. That man is trying to fool everyone in believing that Jesus is alive today. He's not. He died 2,000 years ago. It's the end of the story. This is a con. Standing next to him, by no coincidence, was a leader of the church who just happened to be Greek. His name was John, and said some words to them back in their native tongue, and said, "Why don't you believe? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." Now, just watch what he's going to do. As I'm praying, this woman dives, slow motion, through the air past me, like this, spins in midair, lands on her back over there, and I go. That's why we have chairs.
Yes.
I heard some time ago about illnesses coming back. Like somebody prays and the person heals, so they see the pain. Does this happen? And do you say anything like the Bible is written that do not sin again or something?
So, no. So, you pray for someone, the sickness goes, but then returns. The sickness returns. No. So, what happens is, so there's healing, there's also deliverance. So, what you find is that if, two things, if you pray for someone and the pain shifts in their body to another spot, the person needs deliverance. Spirit of affliction. If the sickness returns, it's a spirit of affliction. And it doesn't need healing, it needs driving out. And there's a social condition as well. So if you drink and get drunk and you have a headache, and I pray for your headache to go, and it goes, but then you go and get drunk again and you have another headache, then the answer is stop drinking. That makes sense. Sorry.
Did you say anything?
No. I don't know. No. So I would just say, if it's something that comes back, then I would take, you know, I come against a spirit of infirmity and I drive it out. I come against an infirmity affliction, I drive it out in Jesus' name and forbid it from returning.
What about angry people who are nonetheless drawn to come and receive prayer, but are perhaps either verbally abusive or are just so uncomfortable?
Yeah, great. So what I do, I see this. I have someone coming and say, well, you know, I don't believe in God. I said, not a problem, take a seat. Right? They've just said, I don't believe in God. And they'll still come and take a seat. A person will come and say, well, I have absolutely no faith at all. So it's not a problem, take a seat. And another person will come and say, well, I'm really angry with God. And we say, we understand. Come and take a seat. And then when they encounter him, everything changes.
Just slightly on that as well. Because we ask permission to lay on hands, and also you put it in terms of, may I pray for you in the name of Jesus?
I don't ask if I may pray for you in the name of Jesus. Can I pray for you? They have no idea who we are. They will afterwards. Do you know Jesus ministered to at least two people? They had no idea who he was. But afterwards they did. So the reason why we're doing this is to catch their attention. Now they're going to listen. Imagine they've experienced his presence, his love, his compassion, his power to get healed. Now they want to know, who is this person? And that's the time for the gospel, which is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first in the Jew and then the Gentile. But the gospel is the power of God. So, right?
Thank you.
With time, yes?
I was just curious if you've seen healing of things like dementia, Alzheimer's, memory loss.
Yeah. So when anybody asks me that question, anything like that, everyone has their mountain of scale as well. This end, headache, let's say easy for God. And in varying degrees, compartmentalizing conditions to some backache, rheumatism, arthritis, some crippling disease, getting easy, harder, very difficult, blindness, missing limbs, maybe mental illness, death. Easy, difficult, very difficult, if not impossible. That is the worldly way, the world of this kingdom of viewing it. Okay, so whenever anybody asks the question, have you seen this? Because everyone has one. They know someone who has that condition. And I understand that. But that is, in a way, that's the way I used to look at it as well. Till God actually put me right, very clear. There's another story, don't have time for that. But the cross looks at it that he dealt with everything. Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, surely, the word surely means without doubt, he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Beautiful, beautiful thing. He took every disease, every condition, doesn't matter what it is, it was dealt with. Can God do it? Yes. Have I seen everything, him heal everything? No. But do I believe he can do it? Yes. I used to compartmentalize it down here. The greatest hindrance to us seeing those things comes here between our ears. Right, sorry. We can go on all night.
We're going to have to break there.
We have to break.
Let's
thank
give,
you.
Mark and the Lord a big round of applause. Guys, we are going to take a big break now, and we're going to restart at 7 o'clock. So enjoy. Feel free to hang around here. We'll have some tea and we'll have some boiling water for tea and coffee. Lots of good places to grab something to eat if you want. I'm going to close that place off, so don't go through there for reasons I won't go into at the moment. But feel free to hang around here, and we'll start at 7.
Thank you.
Come and ask us any questions here. Yeah, we'll work something out. Thank you very much. Yeah.